Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about the books we'd like to recommend.
And Cherie is bringing with her a book that has been out for a while, but a second one just came out recently, correct?
It either just came out or it came out in republication recently. I just saw two different dates for it. But yeah, I stumbled across this book completely by accident, and it was so hysterical I had to share it.
So the book in question is Hyperbole and a Half, and it is kind of a comic memoir, sort of.
Well, what it is a republishing of the author's blog posts, which are part blog, part comic. So the artwork is drawn on computer. It's very deliberately crude, rough-looking art, but she works quite hard at getting exactly the right effect in her art. So when I read this, my thinking was, this is sort of like Diary of a Wimpy Kid for grown-ups, because there are times when the drawings are telling or contributing to the story, but there's also a whole lot of words.
Yes.
So you can't really call this a comic, and you can't really call it just a traditional novel or a traditional memoir. It's funny, it's emotional, and it has something for everybody. Each chapter is a different color, for instance. The paper is actually a different color in each chapter.
Which makes it look really cool when you're looking at it from the top down.
Oh, yes. It does. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Also, very expensive. I remember when this came out, I think I was in college when it came out. I don't remember. I remember it was a very expensive book to purchase.
It was $28 at the time.
Yes.
It is a heavy book. When
yes.
you pick up this book and you pick up a James Patterson novel of equivalent size, Hyperbole and a Half is significantly weightier.
So tell us a little bit about some of what she talks about in her... Also, her name is Allie Broche. I don't think we mentioned that. So tell us a little bit about what she talks about in her humor comic memoir.
Well, a little bit of everything. Before I came in, I just went and looked for her blog, which I didn't realize this came from a blog. I was sort of walking into it blind. But when I read the blog, she said, I read an article about her, specifically about where is Allie Broche in Hyperbole and a Half? She hasn't posted in a while. True, she hasn't posted in a very long time. But the blog started as a way for her to cope with and manage her depression. So the fact that she's not posting constantly is actually an encouraging sign, because that means she's living her life.
Right.
As opposed to, as she put it in her FAQs, spending up to 18 hours a day in her troll cave working on her blog posts and artwork.
Mm-hmm. And I remember one of my favorite parts, because I read the book a long time ago, was when she talked about her dog. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Well, what sucked me in was the intro. I'm a librarian, so books do come across our desks, and like you do, you pick it up and you flip through a little bit, and you think you're just going to glance at a couple of pages, then go back to work. Which happened, but happened slower than you might think, because she sucked me in with her intro, which I'll get to in a minute. Leslie asked about her dogs. She and her husband rescued or adopted dogs who had had troubles in their past. Mm-hmm. So the first blog that she writes about her dog is either entitled Simple Dog, or it's about her simple dog.
Yes.
Who she first started thinking her dog might have a problem when her dog could not get the concept of stairs. So she said, well, okay, she spent a lot of time in a kennel, never was exposed to this before. Mm-hmm. But after 2 weeks, when she had still not mastered stairs and moved with the coordination of something with more legs in its gene pool, she was like, maybe something is up. Maybe I need to give my dog an IQ test and see if there's something wrong.
Yes, that's the chapter I remember.
If there's something wrong with my dog. One of the tests involved, how long does it take your dog to get out from under a blanket when you put a blanket over your dog's head?
Yeah, I remember that.
Simple dog never really self-extracted from the blanket.
Simple Dog was like, I live here now. Oh, no.
Yes. And Simple Dog really, really wants to please, but really doesn't get it. So when the final test was, you test the dog by showing the dog a biscuit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you let the dog see you put that biscuit underneath a little cup. And then you time how long it takes the dog to knock over the cup and get the treat.
Yeah.
Simple Dog never could.
Doesn't have object permanence.
No. No. So later on, you meet Helper Dog, another troubled dog they adopted with the idea that Helper Dog would help Simple Dog. Ooh, it's special. I'll let you discover it on your own.
So is this snippets of her life? You said anecdotal stories.
It is inspired by her life.
Okay.
But Hyperbole and a Half is the title for a reason. Mm-hmm. Many of the stories are written from the perspective of the child she was at the time a lot of these things were occurring. Mm-hmm. So if she was 4 or 5 in the story, that is the perspective that you're getting in this blog and this art. Mm-hmm. So the parents aren't actually the villains for not wanting the small child to eat the entire birthday cake.
Right.
They are inspired by but not recreations of
her the actual life.
They are not full and complete documentable instances of her life. They're inspired by it.
Yeah. Although part of what made that whole book so relatable was when she would talk about struggling with anxiety and depression.
Yes. She wrote a chapter that spoke to me about, it was her chapter on depression. And the irony to me is, there were several. There was one that was straight up on depression. And then there was one that's it was about motivation. It's actually titled Motivation. And it started with the sentence, "One of the most terrifying things that has ever happened to me was watching myself decide over and over again, 35 days in a row, to not return a movie I had rented every day." I work in a place where people borrow things and are expected to bring them back. Mm-hmm. So we have experience with people occasionally bringing things back, perhaps later than originally intended. Mm-hmm. Also people bringing things back very, very early. And sometimes we struggle with our own selves to bring back the book to the place where we work every single day.
I think you'd be surprised by the number of librarians who have fines on their account for not bringing items back.
I'd be one of them.
I have been that person, but I am much better now. So, yes, that was very relatable to me, that first sentence in the chapter on motivation. So she has a chapter. I'm calling it a chapter because I don't know what else to call it. In the anecdote in the chapter on motivation, that also you can see handling of depression in there. And then she has a straight up chapter on depression as well. Mm-hmm. So while I found this book hysterically funny, it sucked me in and I started laughing out loud at my desk, which is kind of a problem because I'm in an open office with, say, my supervisor and several other people who did not need to be distracted by me cracking up laughing. It touches on serious things too.
Mm-hmm. And she does it in a way that's very relatable, even if you don't suffer from that yourself, because every human on earth has been through a phase where they feel depressed. They may not be depressed, but they feel sad and have trouble with motivation and things like that.
Motivation. Open that bill. No, open that bill. Really, open the bill. Okay, I've opened the bill.
Yeah.
Write the check to pay the bill. Okay, that's dating myself. Go online and click to pay the bill. Really?
Yes.
Forgot my password. Look up your password. Look up your password. So you can relate to the motivation, even if it's not specifically about returning a movie to Blockbuster, which doesn't exist anymore.
Yes. And the idea that something really simple, in theory, can still escape you for like a week or 2 weeks.
I struggle with overthinking. So by the time I actually do a thing, I've probably thought about it 100 times.
Yeah.
And I can see that in some of these.
Yes.
But man.
And the longer you wait for things, the bigger they seem when you try to do them again.
They turn into giant Statue of Liberty monsters. And it turns out that, you know, they're not giant, huge statue monsters.
I had to wash a bunch of blankets in my house, and they were literally large. Like, there was just a pile of blankets. And every time I looked at them, I was like, no, it's going to take too long.
It also kind of becomes your pile of shame, too.
Yeah, yes. I literally hid it in the second bedroom when someone came to my house and was like, I hope they don't open the door. Oh, no.
Well, yes. I think all of us here have probably experienced the someone is coming over, scoop something behind a door, and close that door situation.
So beautiful, relatable, humorous stories. Not all 100% humorous.
And grown-ups.
Yes.
Very much targeted at grown-ups. While this author does not...
It may look like a children's book, but it is not.
While she does not F-bomb gratuitously, there is MF-bomb. Occasionally.
Yes.
When the situation warrants it. And that is a conscious decision on the author's part to include that type of a thing.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of reader would you recommend this for? Obviously, not small children.
Despite the comparison to Diary of a Wimpy Kid, no, not small children. I would say to people who like reading things in small bites, the other thing this reminded me of is Lisa Scottoline's humor, writing, my nest isn't empty, I just have more closet space, where there are small chapters of a bite of a story. A mm-hmm. chapter is a complete story in and of itself. It's hard to recommend humor because humor is personal.
And it's got a very specific style of art and humor that is very related to, I think, like the internet age.
Yes, I was thinking people who read webcomics.
Yes,
would be perfect for them.
You know, like you were saying, the purposefully not very good drawings, things like that.
I would agree with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, I was talking this up to someone and they said, oh, I don't read comic books. Okay, fair enough. This isn't just a comic book, though. While the pictures do tell some of the story,
mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily read a lot of comics anymore either. But I loved this. And I loved where I would read the words and then I would see that the words were referring to actions taking place. And then I would watch the panels and see Simple Dog's head go progressively higher and higher to the side as Simple Dog tried to figure out what the heck the author wanted her to do. So you do need to, I think, have some visual spatial
inclination,
maybe. Yes.
Yeah. A little bit of openness to the idea of comics.
Or of part of the storytelling
visual
being
art.
Visual. And at the same time, you have to be open to some of the storytelling being words because,
there's a lot of words. Yes.
They move very quickly and they're hysterical, but there's a lot of words.
Speaking of the words, do you have anything in particular that you'd like to share with us from the book? I'm going to go ahead and say we're just going to do a reading from it because it's like a mixture of pictures and words, so I don't want to get on a page that literally just has like a picture.
Well, I'm not going to describe a bunch of the pictures, but when this book sucked me in, it was in the first real anecdote called mm-hmm. Warning Signs, and it started with the author digging up a letter that she had written to her future self when she was 10 years old.
Oh my gosh.
So this is a letter from 10-year-old her to 25-year-old her, except the 25-year-old her forgot to go dig it up, so 27-year-old her is reading it. It starts with, "Dear 25-year-old, note, not dear 25-year-old me or dear 25-year-old self, just dear 25-year-old. And asking the questions a 10-year-old might like. Dogs first. Are you still training dogs? Is the dog you have now while you're 10 years old still alive when you're 25? Eventually, are mom and dad still alive?" So the hysterical
after you check
part
all the dog.
About this is, and she drew pictures of her German shepherds. "Below the German shepherds, I wrote the three most disturbing words in the entire letter. Three words that revealed more about my tenuous grasp on reality than anything else I have uncovered about my childhood. There, at the bottom of the letter, I had taken my crayon stub and used it to craft the following sentence. Please write back."
The idea of this 10-year-old crafting this very, like, thorough letter to their future self and then being like, please respond, thank you.
Well, the 27-year-old took up the challenge and wrote letters back to, "Dear 2-year-old, face cream is not edible. No matter how much it looks like frosting, no matter how many times you try, it's always going to be face cream. Dear 6-year-old. So the 27-year-old took up the challenge and wrote mm-hmm. letters back to her previous selves who, alas, will never get to read them because
I mean,
time
they did.
Travel.
But honestly, that's also kind of cathartic.
In the future.
So oh, yeah.
A lot of times people are encouraged, if they feel like they've lost touch with their childhood innocence, to go back and try to write a letter to their former self.
Yeah. Dear former self, don't worry. It gets better. Except that she's telling her 2-year-old self to stop eating face cream.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all
also legit
face.
Advice, man.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for bringing another book to us, especially one so interesting in format.
Yeah, the subtitle, man, it's Hyperbole and a Half, Unfortunate Situations, Flawed Coping Mechanisms, Mayhem, and Other Things That Happened.
Sounds about right.
Yep.
And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
And before we go out, I'm going to say thank you for our fans in Minnesota. Our second most popular airing state.
I know. Maybe some other states will kind of join the challenge.
Yeah, beat Minnesota. Love you, Minnesota. Bye.
Bye.